105 DGS on KMOX. If you're listening to 1120 and you are anywhere around Highway 40 between the rivers, you should go to 98.7 on the FM dial. It's going to sound better and deeper and thicker and just much nicer. If you can't do that, or if you have the basic tools to download an app, then go get Odyssey app or go to odyssey.com, and you can not only stream our show, you can podcast our show, KMOX in general, Fox News, CNN, like thousands and thousands of podcasts and stations. It's really, really cool. It really is. It's like it's. Yeah. I found a lot of stuff by using our own app.
Stop shop.
It's just nice too if you're not around a traditional radio and stuff's breaking. Like you can just
put your headphones
on your phone.
Do what you're gonna do. Stuart, Kevin.
All right, we're gonna. I want to tie some audio into this, Rach. So I'm not sure exactly what it's labeled. If it's labeled. Weinstein,
managed,
or if
managed
it's
reality.
Okay.
Managed reality. Okay, I want to run this, Dave. I think this is physicist Eric Weinstein. We've played some of his stuff before. He's on a podcast hosted by a guy named Chris Williamson, and it's like wide ranging, right? He's talking about society. He's talking about weird fights in the physics world because he's a physicist and a mathematician who went to Harvard and has come up through the intellectual ranks. But he's also talking about politics. He's talking about regular science debates, all kinds of interesting things. But he's essentially making a point that a lot of what we are doing and a lot of how things are structured from power is basically about all of us maintaining lies. Like, it's just about lie after lie after lie. So I'll let him make the point a little better than I did.
No one on planet Earth is behaving rationally with respect to physics and UFOs. You have a claim that is being heard at the highest levels in Congress that we've lost control of our airspace. You either clear this thing up in an afternoon or you call in SEAL Team 6. All of these very simple things we don't adjudicate. We are just lying. Lying, lying, lying is the substrate of our society. We're lying about physics. We're lying about economics. We're lying about finance. We're lying about coronavirus and biological research. We're lying about monetary aggregates.
How many different hills are you waging a war on?
There's only one. It's called managed reality.
Managed reality. That it's
I
not,
love
it's
that.
Not, and again, the UFO part of the beginning was part of a conversation that led him to that point.
Yeah.
It wasn't meant to be all about the UFO thing, but he's made that point a bunch of times in different podcasts about UFOs. Like, hey, if this is worthy of a conversation in Congress, why isn't there more action? Why isn't there more open discussion?
Right.
Like, why aren't you bringing people like me in to talk about these things, or experts in the field, or the military for that matter? And he's just basically, and that was an interview, and I actually have more clips from it that are about different topics. But that idea that we just can't, like, we're not based on truth. We're not based on that. Reality is a series of lies that we agree to maintain because it manages reality.
I couldn't agree with him more.
Doesn't that makes a lot of sense?
A ton of sense.
And one of the things he
said, we're not leveling with each other about anything.
No.
We're throwing all curveballs. I'm not even sure that here we go again, like going to get in the Wayback Machine. 30 years ago, I'll say everyone lied. Everyone lies. I mean, we've all done it.
Of course.
But then there were liars. We were like, hey, that guy took all my money.
Or, yeah.
You said X and you did Y. Wait a second. It stood out. Now I think it's the opposite, that it's not even like you have good people and bad people. You have honest people and you have people who lie. You have dishonest people and you have, straightforward, straight shooters. I think we've all fallen into this McDonald's ball pit of falsehoods, and we've forgotten what it's like to just go truth straight up.
And we don't even agree that there is a truth.
Yeah. And let's be honest. None of us are getting straight to the source, whatever it is, physics, politics, economics. We're all getting our news from somewhere, and most of us are getting it from a pretty major source. I do. I'm not going to the dark web. Or I'm not going to these tiny little.
We don't have independent knowledge of a lot of things, right?
No, when I do my show. Everything you're hearing, I got from someone else. And it was probably CNN or Drudge or, that's what we do. And so I think it helps us to admit we're all in the same ball pit. Some of us are 3 feet deep in it, and some of us are on the surface, but we're all in the ball pit.
I'm wondering how this hits you guys, Rach and Andrew, because Dave and I have 20 years of existence before you guys do. And I'm curious if that strikes you as like, duh, of course that's how it is, because you grew up with the internet. You grew up with things kind of more the way that they are now than the way they were in the 70s and 80s.
I'm going to be honest. I'm having a little bit of a hard time following the train of thought here. So he's saying that everything we talk about is somehow a lie. That's what I'm not getting.
It's more that the big things you're not really doing. You're not talking about the reality of a situation on all of the big stories. It's here's a little snippet, and this is what I think, and this is what I think. But we never get to the actual answer. You get the questions, you get the debate, but then you never get a resolution.
Mm. And I don't take it that it's literal lies. I think that the point he's making is we're all just living this sort of made up pretend where it's not real. It's just a movie anyway, kind of
okay.
A life.
That makes a lot more sense to me. We have the illusion of the truth.
Yes.
Right. Like
yes.
Use immigration as an example, because I argue about this all the time. Presidents going back to the 80s and 90s have been arguing about the border being open. Bill Clinton gave a huge speech about it. That sounds like what any Republican would say now. Nothing changes. You're telling me that with all the resources we have, all the smart people that we have, through all of that time in 30 years, you couldn't figure out anything.
Well, plenty of people are benefiting from the situation.
And that's the point. Yep. The point is that the whole conversation is a lie.
Name a topic.
Right. The whole conversation is actually a lie in that they're not actually even having the conversation. It's just to fire people up, to push them in a certain direction politically to get them to vote. But the reality is nobody wants to change it. Nobody in power wants to change it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The people that matter,
it's
essentially.
It's sort of like that saying, and I'll get this wrong about God, that atheists say, like either he has the power to change things, but he doesn't want to, or he doesn't have the power. You know that one.
Right, right.
Well, I think the same thing can be said about the government. Hey, either you have the power to fix the border,
or you don't,
and you're
right.
Not. Or you don't have the power. Like,
right,
there's no real great solution here.
Right.
I also think we're hurt by, I hate to make this about Michael Moore, but going back to the think piece you referenced in the first hour, Dave, where Michael Moore was like, actually, Trump is smarter than all of us. I think rhetoric like that is incredibly harmful and misguided, because to say that since someone is a going around the rules and, you know, not playing by the rules, that makes you smarter somehow. I think that actually makes you less intelligent, because
yeah.
You can't play the game normally. But everyone has like a take on stuff like that. It's like, oh, well, at the end of the day, the people doing it the wrong way are actually doing it the right way. And that all gets muddled up in all of our conversations
yeah.
too. It's like, you're not helping anything. But I think that is born out of a desire to make it all make sense. And the fact of the matter is a lot of this stuff doesn't make any sense.
You know,
maybe there is
yeah.
no ultimate truth when it comes to the border. Maybe there is no ultimate truth. I've always called the gun issue, gun control issue, the unsolvable problem. Because guess what? These guns exist, and there's no way you're going to round all of them up. So what's our solution really going to be? I think we have a hard time sitting with those uncomfortable truths that there is no epitome of, oh, this is the answer.
Right.
Maybe there is no answer.
And the lies are that there are answers.
Right.
Like, I have the answer. My team has the answer.
Right.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Especially on the biggest of the big issues. You don't. And I really find that, like, when you're talking about the discussion, it's not so much that the lie comes first and that's what everything's based around. It's that we're not even addressing the actual question, which is, can you even do it? The war on drugs. It's a perfect lie. You can't. There's nothing you can do about it. They've had all the laws for all these years. What has it changed? Nothing. So again, Dave, it goes back to that same point.
Mm.
You either have the power to do it and you're not. Why? Or you can't. And why are we even talking about it?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a really interesting observation from him.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not trying to paint him as the smartest guy in the world or anything like that. It was just a really interesting way of looking at it. And when you look at so many of the things we fight about, it's that. If there is a solution, somebody doesn't want it
yeah.
and it's not
yeah.
happening, or there just isn't one.
We've become so performative. just in our daily lives.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I don't know that anyone's really immune to it.
Do you think that we just, I don't know if it's as a species, but maybe just as a society, I don't know what it's like in other countries when it comes to the discourse because we don't live there. But do you think it's because we just don't want to admit we can't fix certain things or there's nothing we can do about some things? We just don't want to admit that, whether it's ego or it's just strong political belief or whatever it is.
Well, it's holding on to power, right? I mean, I think we get from the top, we get, we'll never get, I can't fix this. Because as soon as somebody who's running for an office or holds an office says, you've got a problem, I can't possibly fix it. Well, then we go, well, get
then
the hell
you
out
get
of here.
Out of there, right?
Yeah.
Which again comes back to the lie.
I've lost all faith in you and everything.
What I've said, like when Rach calls the gun problem the unsolvable problem, I'm typically angering the conservative listeners, but I'll anger the liberal listeners when I say, like, look, you can have an assault weapons ban, and you can look back at the statistics. It made a difference during the Clinton era, but it's not going to solve the problem.
The sickness that lies within people that cause them to do these
but also,
things.
You
can put up all the roadblocks to someone shooting someone else, especially in a mass shooting kind of a scenario, and you should. I'm on your team. I'm on board. Put up all the roadblocks you can, but you still cannot stop that person who's dedicated to doing it, they're going to do it.
Mm-hmm. I think that, yes, my belief is let's put up as many obstacles as we can. Because if you slow one person, that could be enough or they can't do it. You stop one person, well, that's 20 people that didn't get killed. Like, I'm all for incremental improvement.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have to acknowledge that the situation, the circumstances that existed during the Clinton administration do not exist now. The internet was not what it is.
That's an excellent point.
To get those weapons back then, you had to go to a person or a store or a gun shop. You don't have to anymore. So the world has changed. The same thing that worked 30 years ago may not work now.
And you just said a mouthful when you said acknowledging. We don't do that anymore.
Right.
I remember when I was practicing law, I had my favorite people to go against. And it was because they were reasonable. And we had each other's trust. Pardon me, trust. And we could say to each other, because I was on both sides. I started as a defense attorney and I ended as a plaintiff's attorney. And you could say, look, I understand that it's going to be difficult for me to prove X. But if I can, we're in the city and you could get hit for $10 million. I acknowledge that, Dave. And that's why I'm willing to pay you $300,000. That was so much better. And it was, our clients were better served. The system was better served. Justice was better served by acknowledging the weaknesses in your argument in a non-binding situation. You don't say that when you're in front of the jury because you're performing. But I guess I've kind of come full circle when I said that we're so performative. If we were attorneys, we would all be acting as if we were performing in front of the jury for our final summations when we're not always there. In fact, we're rarely there. We're pretending we're Clarence Darrow in front of a jury when we really should just be talking to each other, honestly, seeing what we could figure out.
Like you're in a conference room.
Like what we do at the think tank that we're going to do here in 40 minutes. That's what we try to do.
But we glorify the strong man argument
So I'm a little surprised that we're not bored with it yet. So in the 59 years that I've lived, I've watched so many things, products, services, musical genres, entertainment genres come and go because humans, we just get tired of stuff. You get tired of people. You get tired of your family. You get tired of yourself. You get tired of your job. But somehow this one, man, has kept us entertained for a pretty long time.
Well, there's one thing we don't seem to get bored of as a species, and that's conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think a lot of this comes from a childlike view of the world. Like, yeah, there is a truth, and I know what the truth is, and I'm on the side of good, and you're on the side of evil. That's very, black and white thinking that is not very helpful.
A very Marvel movie.
But if you have that childlike of a view, you're not going to get tired of it because we're such an immature society.
That's why Captain America annoyed me sometimes.
He just thought he'd do everything, huh?
Yeah. Well, that and the whole America's ass thing.
I'm sorry, what?
You didn't watch the Captain Marvel movies? Like the Avengers movies?
America's ass?
You guys didn't, you never heard those jokes? Iron Man used to joke about it all the time.
Oh, because he has like a nice butt?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay.
Yes, because they wear tight outfits in the Marvel movies, you know?
Okay.
Okay.
And then, you know, Robert Downey Jr. would make the joke and then he'd be like, oh yeah, you know what? That is America's ass.
No. That was more of a
sorry, that was
commentary on you.
I guess that was a deep cut for people that aren't. I bet Andrew knew what I meant.
It sounded familiar.
You know what was really bothering me last night? I was listening to some really smart people, scientists, physicists. They're talking about how, well, we have to leave the planet. I mean, it may not be in the next 10 years, but we have to leave the planet.
I think I saw that too.
And I'm like, when we find a planet that's only 5 times bigger than the Earth and has some of the basic things we do, we're like, there it is. To my knowledge, the only thing wrong with the Earth is that we're kind of being foolish and being stupid and we're creating too much carbon dioxide. Fixable. If we were to find this exact planet that we're on right now, exactly like it is, a little too much CO2 for our taste, but we'd be like, oh my God, it's perfect. It's Cinderella's slipper. You know what? You feel me? Like, it's fine. It's a planet. It's fine. We need to get ourselves in order. The planet's not the problem.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's a good way to look at it.
I'm fine going to the moon. I'm fine going to Mars. I'm fine. Let's go. I'm into it. But let's not act like there's something wrong with the planet.
The planet is betraying us, so we must leave.
I forget who somebody said it was making fun of the save the planet thing. Like it was a comic, I'm sure. I can't remember who. He's like, the planet's not going anywhere.
No.
We might go somewhere. Right.
Yes.
We need to save the humans.
No, the planet's been through hundreds of millions of years of nothing but volcanic activity. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
What? 336 DGS Think Tank coming up at 4 p.m. with Mike Elam and Steve Butts. Dave Murray joins us now. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
Another cool night ahead of us, right?
Yep. Yeah, we're down to about 32 once again, and up and down over the next several days, really up and down through at least the middle of next week. There's going to be some chilly days. There's going to be some very warm days. 52 for the high temperature tomorrow. So it's a little cooler than today by about 5 or 6 degrees. But that actually today and tomorrow is pretty close to where we should be this time of year. So we've been on a wild ride. So I think you start to think, well, you know what? It should be around 70 this time of year, but it shouldn't be. It should be right around 55 or so for the average high. So we've been just on this wild ride. Friday, the ride continues, partly sunny skies. I'm going to keep a chance of a spot shower, sprinkle in the forecast for Friday, but I think Friday's a dry day. Cold start, much warmer Friday afternoon, 69 degrees. Here comes another cold front in the northwest flow Friday night. Cloudy skies, northwest winds return, 32 Friday night. Saturday, sunny, chilly, 52. Sunday, partly sunny, a little better, 62. And then kind of an extended stretch of rain and some thunderstorms late Sunday night, Monday, and into Tuesday. It looks like the cold air is going to stay to the north until the storm comes by. And then we should cool off probably come Tuesday night, Wednesday of next week. But by then, the moisture should be out of the system. So I'm not overly concerned about snow at this point, but there is more cold air as we get into next week.
Dave, how are we looking on the rain totals and the moisture for the year?
You know, I still kind of think we could use a little more. I think this could be a real beneficial rain come Monday and Tuesday of next week, and we could just use a little more. I don't want to, 5, 6, 7 days of rain, because that will cause problems on the rivers, and I'm not expecting that. But I'd like to see an inch of rain out of this if we could squeeze it.
Dave, how far away does rain happen that really affects us? Like, I'm going to Colorado in a couple months, and I'll be whitewater rafting, and it's supposed to be the best whitewater in decades because they had so much snow.
Yep, good melt.
Like, I guess north helps us, right?
All directions help. It depends on the season. It, it's all part of the global pattern on what rain affects us. I really start watching stuff out in the Pacific for us. And then it's just a question of, does it become a Texas Panhandle storm? Is it a Gulf of Mexico storm? Is it a Central Rockies storm? is it a, you know, is it a shot coming down in the Northwest flow? You know, the Alberta Clippers, the cold fronts, things like that. So they're all different. And we can even get some rain coming in from the east, coming in backwards.
I don't think I've ever asked you this, but is there always severe weather somewhere on the planet all the time?
Yes, yes.
That's cool.
I forget the number, but there's like 1,000+ thunderstorms going on at any given time.
That's cool.
You know, think about the equator and the imbalance of temperatures and things like that. Thunderstorms going on all the time.
Really neat. Headlines, Rach?
Brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. So we talked earlier in the show about how today was the first MLB game in South Korea. But did you guys know that there was a bomb threat targeting Shohei Ohtani ahead of the game? More than 100. I know, it's crazy. More than 150 police officers had to search the dome after a South Korean official received an email threatening to set off an explosion. They didn't find a bomb, and the game proceeded as scheduled. Dodgers won 5-2.
Boy, if we can't all rally around Shohei Ohtani, what can we rally around?
It's also weird that it's over there.
Yeah, that's what's weird.
Well, it supposedly came from someone claiming to be a Japanese lawyer, and this could be the same suspect behind a series of similar threatening emails that came out last year.
Okay.
So somebody's got a problem with Shohei. A new report suggests that Americans aren't very happy. This is according to Gallup. They've released their 2024 World Happiness Report, and Americans are nowhere near the top of the list. We rank 23rd, dropping out of the top 20 after ranking 15 last year. And much of that drop is due to Americans under the age of 30 feeling less satisfied with their lives.
You know what? Good. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve to be in the, we don't deserve to be in the top 20. Full stop. We don't. We haven't earned it.
I think we, okay, but it's a measure of happiness. I think it's crazy that we're not in the top 20, being, you know, it's supposedly the biggest, most powerful country in the world. There's so many opportunities.
That's what I'm saying.
But we're always fighting.
That's exactly it, Wheels. If you want to say, wow, we're not in the top 20 toughest. Yeah, we are. You want to say we're not in the top 20 biggest. Yes, we are. We're not in the top 20 richest. Yes, we are. But if we're not in the top 20 happiest, good. Because we have pissed away our happiness. Yeah. There you go. I said it.
Well, you know, I'll tell you. I saw that same story, Rach, and you mentioned the younger people polled. So people 60 and older were super happy. I mean, like happy. You could not be happier based on these polls. It would be happy like Finland happy, and Finland I think was number one, right?
Yes.
Where the people 30 and under are the complete opposite,
what
and
do you
that's what
that?
Brings. Well, I mean, a lot of things. I mean, I don't know, maybe ask Rachel since they're closer to that age, but younger people are fine. They're saying we can't get a house. We don't have the things that you guys that, you know, like 60 and above had when you were 22. And I don't know if that's if it's universally true, but would you guys say that that's probably a big part of it?
I'm sure that plays into it. I also blame everything on the internet, but this younger generation has grown up with, you know, the existential angst that comes with being connected to everything all the time. It doesn't surprise me that people under 30 feel depressed and feel anxious.
When I was under 30, I was happy as can be because I was blissfully ignorant.
Yeah, it was different, man.
I didn't understand life.
Yep.
I didn't care that much. I was just doing my thing.
Yeah, for me, that was still the beginning of the internet age, but it wasn't like now. There's no social media. It's not all over it's not everywhere all the time. It was more like, oh, I think I'll check my email tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't do it every day. You didn't have email every day. It just never came in.
Man, that reminds me of whenever I was a teenager working at Radio Shack, I would come home from work at like 9 o'clock at night. I'd be like, all right, time to check Facebook and Twitter and see what's been going on all day. Cause it wasn't on your phone.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Dave, is that Janice backing up?
Yes, it is. It's trash day. I don't know why he's backing up so much.
Yeah. Just get the can. Back it up for like 15 minutes.
I think he's done.
He heard us. All right. French bulldogs remain the most popular dog breed in the U.S. for the second straight year. That's exciting.
That's shocking since they're $7,000. I know.
Labrador retrievers are the number two most popular, with golden retrievers, German shepherds, and poodles rounding out the top five.
Of course, you've seen this. The TikTok where people pretend to fall asleep with a peanut butter sandwich in their hands.
Yes.
It bothers me so much. These poor dogs. You haven't seen it? So people just pretend like they're on the couch, and they'll just lay, like just like you're handing it to the dog, but you're pretending to be asleep. And these poor dogs, they're so sweet. They go up there and they sniff it, then they look at the person sleeping.
Aww.
Then they lick it, then they look at the person sleeping like, is it okay?
Man, my dog would just take it.
Some of them do that. Some of them just
he would not even hesitate.
Plus my hand.
He'd just be like, boom, see ya.
Donald Trump is defending Princess Kate. He said that doctoring the photo shouldn't be a big deal. He said, man.
I wonder why.
Everybody doctors. You look at these movie actors and you see a movie actor and you meet them and you say, is that the same person in the picture?
What if she's holding back because she's running with him?
I don't think he's getting it.
I don't think he's getting it either. I think it's going over his head.
Someone
explain it to Donald.
Yeah, it's not about just looking a little better. That's not the point.
Did you see he said he might deport Harry and Meghan?
Oh, hey, yeah. He
finally got my vote.
Fine, go ahead. See you guys.
I'm willing to trade. According to a new study, astronauts tend to get headaches during long trips to space, frequently on the ISS. They mostly experienced tension headaches, although they also experienced migraines despite having no history of recurring headaches.
Evidently, going to the moon is awful.
Yeah.
On your body. Yeah. Just terrible.
It all has to be. Like you're not.
Is it just the changes in gravity, or
just
the
everything,
G's?
Just being shaken, and then the zero G's and the G's, and like everything about it, you're nauseous the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's why I'm not going.
I'd still do it.
I would say I'd still do it.
I'm not doing it. President Biden has swapped his dress shoes for sneakers, prompting rumors about fear of falls. So he's been sporting a pair of black hookah transport sneakers with his suits instead of a traditional pair of dress shoes. And people are worried that, you know, this is because he's falling all the time in private and they want him to walk in tennis shoes.
We had FDR, a little more stable. But what if he got to the point where he needed a cane or a walker? Will we accept that as a people?
The cane, maybe. I don't think people would with the walker.
Yeah, I think a cane would be okay.
Yeah, I think people would absolutely go nuts over the walker.
Unless it's a really cool walker.
What if it looked like a Corvette?
Oh, my gosh.
A sweet Corvette?
He's like, this is the Corvette I've been talking about this whole time. I will say, I don't think this is a huge deal. I don't think it's like proof that he's falling all the time. Maybe he just wants to be more comfortable. He's 81 years old.
I see the guys on ESPN, all these guys, they have like a $5,000 suit and they've got Jordans on.
Right.
Like, I think that's a normal thing now, isn't it? I mean, I think it is. Not that Joe Biden is like the guys on ESPN.
And one more story here. The Mega Millions jackpot inches up to $1 billion after almost 30 winless drawings. The next drawing is on Friday.
Man, what does that go to show you? So however many tens of millions of people who play 30 times in a row and didn't pull a winner. That's
crazy.
Yet I still
Powerball's up there too.
Yeah, they're both. Maybe it's just I get $10 on each. That's what I do. Go to QT, give me 10 on each. When I know that doesn't make it 10 times more likely. It's just 10 more chances out of a trillion or whatever it is. But
oh, I know. I got $10 each on the last time around.
Yeah.
And said to the guy, that's the mobile station that I buy tickets at. And I said, yeah, either give me the tickets or you can just take the $20 and burn it.
Yeah, because I don't even check if I didn't win the big one. It's not that I don't need the money. If I won $100, that's great. But my laziness, I just get up in the morning and see if there's a story about someone winning in St. Louis. And then I know immediately it's me.
Of course.
Out of the 2 million people who bought tickets in St. Louis, that's all I need to know. It happened in St. Louis. If they said it were at a Quick Trip, I just start spending money. I go spend all the money I have now because I know I've won. I don't even check the numbers.
That was my final story.
And that's why I'm in the financial ruin that I am. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
Alrighty.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we have Mike Elam and Steve Butzer here for the think tank. We're going to talk about all sorts of stuff. Wheels, I'm going to start out with the sound that you played from that physicist. Because I thought that was a good conversation, and I'd like to get their thoughts on the same kind of thing. More of an overarching umbrella. To what degree are we just playing a game here?
Yeah, to where what matters most is maintaining what? Well, managing reality.
Yes.
Right? Just manage the reality. Make sure that everything's under control even if it doesn't make sense.
And shouldn't we treat our shared reality like a precious Fabergé egg? It's my second Fabergé egg reference today.
Yeah, let's go.
Shouldn't we all, which is why I don't like it when either side says, if I don't win, it's the last election, or if Trump wins, it's the end of democracy, or if this or this. No, no. You owe it to the country to be more articulate. You owe it to the country to be more careful. That's not true. It hasn't happened yet. You feel me?
Yeah. The more I think about it, too, the more I wonder, in what era was the truth actually the truth as opposed to a version of a managed reality? Well, it's fascinating.